Good morning, 12th Street. It is good to see you this morning. We probably should sing a song like Bring Them In or something so everybody in the lobby comes in. But I tell you what, it is beautiful outside, so I should cut my message short so you could get back outside, right? You bunch of heathens, I tell you. You should be like, no, preach on, Pastor, preach on. Well, we'll jump right into the service this morning. It's good to see you, though. Yesterday, I had a good time out with those who were able to go to the corn maze, and the Roberts families combined were the winners of getting through the maze first. So, and see, I was disappointed, though. I had bought these glow-in-the-dark M&Ms. I was really looking forward to seeing, you know, people's mouths. It was just the wrappers that were glow-in-the-dark, so a little disappointing, but it was good to get out there. The Campbell family would like to say thank you to everyone for their cards, calls, prayers, and for the meal that was provided for the funeral this week, and so thank you to everybody who helped with that. Upward Basketball, we are registering for that, and so if you know of anybody that could participate, it's kindergarten through sixth grade. It's a great program. We have three goals with Upward. Goal number one, introduce people to Jesus. Amen? Amen. Goal number two, introduce people to our church. Amen. Goal number three, give them a good basketball experience. Okay? So you can see where our interest and our goals lie. And so pray for Upward. There are prayer pins. If you want to grab a pin, that'll help remind you to pray for Upward. And you can put it on something that you wear all the time or on a coat that you wear every day. And that'll help remind you to pray for Upward. The Trunk or Treat is this coming Friday from 6:30 to 8 p.m., and so we are really looking forward to it. We always have a lot of people out for that, so if you can bring your car and be part of that, that would be wonderful. On November 11th, Saturday, November 11th, is the annual Parade of Lights down to Shipshawana. If you'd like to participate in that, there's info in the bulletin and a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center. And I am still looking for more awkward or just old family photos. We need these for this the Christmas series that I'm doing. And so especially if you all wore like the same sweater or everybody wore the same color. Or, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, people wore some weird things. Like everybody would wear like the drapes. I mean, at least that's what it looked like, right? And so if you have any pictures like that, we would love to have those because it will help enhance the series that we're doing. And then on November 19th, there's a senior movie night out, and they're going to be right here at the church. The movie will be The Case for Christ. So if you'd like to be part of that, just mark that in your calendar and remember that. For the rest of the announcements, you can read them in your bulletin. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I know, Lord, that your word is very rich, and this morning it's such a simple, simple parable. But this parable, it can shape who we are as individuals, and it can shape who we are as a church. And so, Lord, I pray that we would hear it, understand it, learn it, and apply it to our lives. And I just thank you, Lord, that as we sing this morning, we can praise your great name, because there is no name. Your name is above every other name in heaven and earth. There is no other name whereby we must be saved. And so, Lord Jesus, we love you this morning. I pray that you would send your spirit to meet with us in a special way. And as we sing about your great name and as we praise you, I just pray, Lord, that you would be honored and pleased, not only with our words, but with our hearts as well. So to you be all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
All right, as you're making your way back to your seats this morning, remain standing. We're going to open with Blessed Be Your Name.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm out in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun is shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. Choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Jesus. your defender. You are my King, Redeemer, my Healer, Lord Almighty, my Savior, Defender. You are my King. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up, that all the world will praise Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up, that all the world will praise your great name. Your great name. Your great name. As morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise that rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name. Shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name. Shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save your name. Is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name.
Father, we come before you this morning, Lord. We've had an opportunity to praise your name this morning. And Father, we just know that one day at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Father, we just pray for those that haven't accepted Christ yet. Father, we just pray that somehow through your will and through your grace that we'd be able to reach those that don't know you as Lord and Savior. And Father, we just pray for Pastor this morning. Pour your spirit out on him, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have the ushers come forward.
There's an emptiness around us. We can see it everywhere. Weary souls are broken and blinded by despair. In their hearts of God's children, in the wounded and the weak, we look to find our purpose in the hope of Calvary. All we need is the power of God to fall fresh once more, to change us and to heal us with a passion for the Lord. In our churches, in our homes, it must be God and God alone who satisfies our longing for peace. He is all we need. The search to find contentment is never satisfied. In the things this world offers that will fade away with time. Now more than ever, we must return to our first love and seek first His kingdom with our eyes fixed above. All we need is the power of God to fall fresh once more, change us and to fill us with a passion for the Lord. In our hearts, in our homes, it must be God, God alone, to satisfy our longing for peace. Satisfies our longing.
Thank you, choir. Great job. I hope that's your testimony this morning, that Jesus Christ is all that you need, that he satisfies everything in your life. Well, at this time, we'll dismiss the children to Children's Church. We'll dismiss the children to Children's Church. And you heard about the siren that was warning yesterday in Ann Arbor. It was telling everybody to go to the football field because there's a tornado warning. And that's the safest place because they don't score any touchdowns there. So all the state fans like that, right? So. All right. Well, let's take our Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. And we're going to start reading in verse 11. This is the sixth parable, or in the series here, the sixth group of parables that we will look at. It's a very short parable today. And this one's a little bit different. Usually when Jesus shared parables, he was sharing it with his disciples, but also with a whole other group of people that are there. With this parable, it's a little bit different. As he shares, it's only to his disciples, okay? And so as we see this, we're gonna see some interesting things here. Let's start reading in Mark chapter 8 and verse 11. It says, "And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him." Now the funny thing about this is Jesus had just fed 4,000 people with 7 loaves of bread and a few small fish. So he's just fed 4,000 people with 7 loaves of bread and a few small fish. And then the Pharisees come to him and say, "Show us a sign that you are the Son of God." Okay? I don't know. I don't think he needs to do anything else to prove who he is, right? You know, just a few weeks before that, he had fed 5,000 people with just a little bit of bread and a little bit of fish as well. So the Pharisees obviously aren't paying attention. The other thing that's happened is Jesus has healed several people. He healed a blind man. He healed a person who was deaf. And the Pharisees were there. In fact, he healed a man whose hand was withered. But it was on the Sabbath day. And so they said that he must be full of a devil. And so they come to him and they say, show us a sign. So verse 12, "And he sighed deeply in his spirit." You know, Jesus sighed. Jesus, he grew, in a sense, impatient with stupidity. You know, that's okay. That's okay. He hears it. They say, "Hey, Jesus, you need to show us a sign." And he's like, "Oh." And he says, "Why does this generation seek after a sign? Verily, I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation." Now, wait a minute. Didn't he already show some signs? But he never did it with the intent of showing a sign. Every single one of his miracles were done to meet a need. He didn't show signs just to show off. Verse 13. "And he left them, and entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf." They had just fed 4,000 with 7 loaves left over. So 7 baskets full left over. They fed with 7, and then they had 7 baskets left over. And they only brought 1 loaf with them in the boat. So they wasted 6 baskets of bread. That's very important. Remember that. "And he charged them, saying," and here's the parable, "take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And then I think he just goes to another part of the boat and leaves them. Because listen to what they do. Now the disciple, verse 16. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have no bread." I'm sure Peter looked at Thomas, and Thomas looked at Judas, and Judas looked at John, and John looked at James, and they were all looking at each other going, "Did you bring the bread?" And one of them's like, "I brought my loaf." Okay? He's not talking to me. "You other, you messed up." And when Jesus knew it, he says to them, I wonder how long he let them reason. I wonder how long he let them discuss this. Verse 17, "Why do you reason because you have no bread? Don't you pay attention? Do you not understand? Have you hardened your heart so much? Having eyes you don't see, and having ears you don't hear, and you don't remember. When I broke the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets of fragments did you take up?" They said, 12. "And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up?" And they said, 7. "And when the 7 among 4,000, verse 21, "And he said to them, how is it that you don't understand?" And then Mark, as he records the gospel, he jumps right into the next thing and leaves it at that. The point, this is the first blank in your bulletin, the point of this: beware of the false. What Jesus provides is sufficient. Beware of the false. What Jesus provides is sufficient. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. This is his point. Now, to understand a little bit, because we don't always bake bread, right? We go to the store and buy bread. So we don't get leaven. We don't understand this concept maybe as much as they did back then. So I'm going to show you here real quick. Go ahead and play that video. All right? This is how leaven works. You put a little bit of leaven, yeast, into bread, and then that bread, as it heats up, that yeast causes the dough to rise. And you put a little bit of leaven. You don't like put a cup full, all right? It'll ruin the taste. You put a little bit in, and it affects the whole loaf of bread. And so, I don't know if you can see it real well, but it's rising right now. Now it's turning brown. Okay, but a little bit of leaven in the bread, it affects the entire loaf. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. I want to read the parallel account of this story in Matthew, because Matthew gives us a couple different details. And so let's look at the different details that Matthew gives us. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 6. "Then Jesus said to them, 'Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees.'" Now, in Mark, he said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Herodians." In Matthew, it says, "The Pharisees and the Sadducees." Verse 7 in Mark 16. "And they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'It is because we have taken no bread.' Which when Jesus perceived, he said to them, 'O ye of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves? Because you have not brought any bread. Do you not understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees?' Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." In Mark, he just says, they heard it, and they struggled with it. Mark kind of leaves it where they're still struggling. In Matthew, they understand. Now, these are obviously parallel accounts. So, I want to real quickly look at the differences between the two parables to help us understand the complete message of this parable. First of all, we have the Pharisees. All right, the Pharisees, and this is the next blank in your bulletin here. The Pharisees are the religious manipulators. Okay? The Pharisees are the religious manipulators. Last week we saw that they got after Jesus and his disciples because they didn't wash their hands. But yet they followed this rule of Korban, where they would dishonor their parents, but it was legal for them to dishonor their parents because they committed their money to the temple. It was only committed to the temple until their parents died, and then it was right back for them. And they could also use it for whatever they wanted to. They just couldn't use it for the parents because they had made a commitment of Korban. And Jesus got after them, and he said that's terrible. It's not what goes into a man, the washing of hands, that defiles a man. It's what comes out of a person. And Korban was obviously something that was coming out of them that showed that they did not honor their parents and that they did not honor the law of God. So these are the Pharisees, the religious manipulators. Then we have the Sadducees. The Sadducees are the religious manufacturers. Here's what they do. They denied the resurrection of Jesus. So whenever you hear the word Sadducee in the scripture and you're like, what is a Sadducee? Well, they don't believe in the resurrection. And if you don't believe in the resurrection, that will make you sad, you see. Because if there's no resurrection, then what hope do we have as Christians, right? And so the Pharisees, or the Sadducees, they were the religious manufacturers. They were religious elitists who denied the key ingredient to eternal life. The Sadducees also struggled with miracles and anything that was of the supernatural, okay? Then we have the third group that's talked about. Jesus talks about the Herodians. This is the religious ruling class. The Herodians married Jewish religion and Roman politicism. They married the two. Now, the Pharisees believed that Israel should be a sovereign nation and not in connection or be involved in the religion or the politics of Rome. The Sadducees accepted the reign of Rome as they were more likely to marry earthly ideas to spiritual things. And the Sadducees and the Herodians seemed to find a little more in common politically than they did with the Pharisees. The Herodians and the Pharisees held more in common religiously than with the Sadducees. So you see how they all differ a little bit. The Sadducees and the Pharisees agreed more religiously than they did with the Herodians. But the Herodians and the Sadducees agreed with more politically than with the Pharisees. Okay? So three different groups are mentioned, but yet in the two different accounts in Matthew and Mark, we only have two of the three listed to each one. Here's why we only have two of the three listed. In Matthew, Jesus addresses the Pharisees and Sadducees. Jesus warns them of the leaven. And then the account is capped by the disciples' understanding it was doctrine, not literal yeast, that Jesus was talking about. In Mark, the two groups addressed are the Pharisees and Herodians. Because these are obviously parallel accounts. There's not a discrepancy in Scripture. There were just three different groups there. Matthew focuses on two. Mark focuses on two. Matthew wrote the target audience of the book of Matthew was the Jew to see Jesus as the king. That was his target audience. For the Jew to see Jesus as the king. So as Matthew is writing, he's not worrying about the political end of it. Matthew is dealing with those who worry about the religious end of it. So he deals with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Mark is portraying Jesus as the powerful Savior. His target audience were actually Roman people, Jews who lived in Rome. And so he deals with the Pharisees and the Herodians because he's dealing with the political side. He's focusing in on the groups that would where that would bear itself out. So who could we compare these groups to today? First of all, the Sadducees. The Sadducees. These are the religious left. Okay, the religious left. The religious left, they dismiss miracles, eternal retribution, and things like that. I mean, you ever talk to somebody that says, oh, God would never send anybody to hell. Oh, eternal punishment. That's an old-fashioned idea. That a loving God could never do that. We could compare the Sadducees to the religious left. Okay? Religious because they talk about Jesus. They claim to believe in Jesus, but they don't believe in things that Jesus taught, like eternal punishment. Today, where are some groups that might teach that? Well, there are some Episcopal churches. In fact, the Episcopal Church as a whole has accepted in its doctrine, in its teachings, the removal of the supernatural miracles and the removal of eternal punishment. And so you could look and you could find a correlation there today. The Pharisees. The Pharisees, today you could see them as the religious right, creating legalisms that people have to follow. And with the religious right, what happens with them is they avoid the issues of the heart. And the parable we saw last week, what's more important, the outward or the inward? The inward. And so the religious right, who would that be today? Well, I think certain Baptists could be the religious right, more concerned about the outward than the inward. Some Pentecostals, churches. I mean, if a woman were to show up in pants, she might get booted out of the service. It's that way at some Baptist churches too. And then, even some Mennonite churches have all these external rules that they enforce upon people. Then the Herodians. Now, the Herodians, they were kind of a whole different monster, because the Herodians, they were interested in the political marriage of church and state. Why? Well, the Herodians were followers of Herod. Herod was religious. The Bible actually calls him a Jew. He was a religious Jew. Herod the Great's son, Herod Antipas, they were religious. But they didn't follow the Pharisees because the Pharisees said that they shouldn't be involved in the Roman politics. So they had their own little group, but they believed that they should use their political advantage religiously. Okay? And so they would use the politics and religion, the mixture, to gain power. Who would that be like today? I think it'd be a lot like Catholicism. All right? Think about the history of Catholicism and how much political power Catholicism had, where church and state, where the Pope would tell the king what to do or tell the queen what to do, and that there was such a marriage there. That and then also, there are some evangelicalism, that believe that we should use our faith to run the government. Okay? Now, I do think that government should follow biblical practices. But what happens is people grab their political agenda and they attach their political agenda to their religious stances. Some of them may be biblical, some of them may not. Some of them may just be political, but they'll call them religious. And that could lead to error. Let me just give you a quick example of that. In today's world, some people believe that the taxation system is a right or wrong religious issue. Let me tell you something. King Solomon probably taxed the people at about 60 to 65% of their earnings. All right? The tax for the temple with Moses. Remember, they're wandering around in the wilderness. They're not making a lot of money, right? Moses, originally, to get things going with the tabernacle and everything, he taxed the people what would be considered at around a 50% tax. So for us to sit here and go, taxation is, it's a religious, it's part of my faith. No, it's not. It's political. And when we try to marry the religious to the political, that's kind of the warning of the Herodians. Don't fall into that trap. So the doctrine that Jesus is specifically rebutting, because you have these people, they all believe different things, but they all agreed on one thing. The Pharisees, the Herodians, and the Sadducees had one thing that they united in, and it was the denial of Jesus as the Messiah. None of them believed in Jesus as the Messiah. And because they didn't believe in Jesus as the Messiah, it affected other points of their doctrine. It affected other things that they taught. So, Jesus, when he warns his disciples, he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Herodians, or of Herod. What he's telling them is, there is a doctrine they hold to that will infect and spoil the entirety of faith. And that's why, you know, some people, they talk about Jesus. There are a lot of churches that are religious that talk about Jesus. But then they say, but you also have to be good or you can't go to heaven. Or they'll say, you also have to do this or you can't go to heaven. And you know what? As soon as you take it away from Jesus alone for salvation, you've now changed it. And that leaven that's thrown in there, that yeast that's thrown in there, it'll cause the entire lump of your faith to be destroyed. It will cause the entire lump of your faith to rot. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6, it says this, know ye not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? A little leaven. A little bit of bad doctrine, a little bit of bad belief, it will destroy the whole lump. Galatians 5:9, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So let me give you two applications from this passage. Two applications. Number one, Jesus can supply for everything we need. He supplies for everything we need. The great thing about that, when you go on vacation and you can't be around the church isn't your faith. The church helps with your faith. The church helps you grow in your faith. But the church is not your faith because Jesus travels everywhere. So even when you're at work, even when you're in a situation where there's nobody around to help you do the right thing, Jesus is there. And Jesus can supply for everything that you need. There's not one thing in life that you will face where Jesus is not the answer to. Okay, the old thing that happens in Sunday school with kids, you know, the Sunday school teacher will ask a question, no matter what question they ask, if the kids don't get it, one of the kids is going to raise their hand and say,
Jesus, right? Jesus.
And they're going to be right, right? Because how do you say, oh, no, Jesus is the wrong answer, you know? You know, kind of like there's that commercial that, you know, going to whatever will save you whatever, you know, money. There's a commercial where you know, go to Geico and it'll save you 15% or whatever. And it's the right answer no matter what the situation. Well, I'll tell you what truly in life is the right answer is Jesus. And he supplies for everything. Let's think about it. The Pharisees, they say, show us a sign. He just fed 4,000 people with 7 loaves of bread. And then when they were done eating, they took up 7 basketfuls of leftover. You know what that means? The leftover was equal to the original. When he fed 5,000, he only had 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. And they took up 12 baskets of leftover. They had more left over than what Jesus started with. So whenever you face a situation in life and you go, I wonder if Jesus can meet this need, stop wondering. You can be confident that Jesus will. He shared this parable with his disciples. Not because they forgot bread, but because he wanted to warn them of false faith. He wanted to keep them from letting a little bit of bad doctrine into their life. And he wanted to prevent that little bit of bad doctrine. And so I want to just give a modern day illustration here of, see this? Nice, ooh, got a crumb of, oh, it's on the outside. Nope, it's on the inside. Well, I won't drink that. I don't know what that is. But you see, it's nice and it's clear water, though, right? See that? But I'm just going to put a little squirt of this fruit punch flavoring, okay? Just a little bit. I'm just going to, all right, just a little squirt. Now, what if I want to go back now and take all the red out? Do you think I can take all that red out? But come on, I mean, I might need to. You know, maybe I'm allergic to red food dye. The entire glass of water was infected when I just put a little squirt in, a little drop. This is how false doctrine affects an individual. This is what false doctrine, how it grows and permeates and takes over a church. This is Jesus' warning to us. Beware of the leaven, the yeast, because it affects everything.
Hi, Daddy.
Hey, babe, what's up?
So I was gonna ask about, me and my friends wanted to go to that one movie that I was telling you about.
That movie that's rated R? That's a horror movie?
Well, you see, there's only just a tiny bit of language, a bit of gore, and a tiny bit of romance.
I tell you what, go ahead. You can go.
Dad, that's no fair. You should, wait, what?
I said you can go.
I can go?
Yep. Go to the movie.
I can go?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you. You're the best dad. Your microphone.
Yeah,
sorry.
Thanks. Yeah. Yeah, we'll see if you still believe that in just a second.
Oh,
but
dear.
Hey, babe, I knew that you'd be asking me about this, and so I decided to, I made your favorite cookie.
My cookie.
Yes, your favorite cookie. Now, that's the cookie that you've always loved, the kind of cookie. I used all the same great ingredients. Mm-hmm. But I just added one little different ingredient. Just one little different ingredient.
Why would you change that to a perfect cookie?
I know. That's the point. That's exactly the point. Why would I change a perfect cookie? But I just added one little different ingredient.
You kept the flour.
Yep, the flour's in there.
The sugar.
Yep, there's sugar.
The brown sugar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The powdered sugar.
Yeah, I put a little bit of powdered sugar in there, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The chocolate.
Yeah, obviously there's good chocolate in there, isn't there? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just added one little ingredient.
Well, it tastes a bit different. Hmm. Is it nutmeg?
No, not nutmeg.
Cinnamon?
No, not cinnamon.
What about mint?
Not mint. Nope, not mint.
I give up.
Poop. Dog poop.
That is dog poop!
Yeah, yeah. You see, I just took all the same great ingredients that were in the cookie that you love, and I just added a little bit of dog poop because I knew that we would be having this discussion. It was just a little bit.
Dad, if you don't want me to go to the movie, just tell me. Don't make me eat dog poop cookies. I'm going to go rinse my mouth out. The lemonade has to be lemonade in the refrigerator.
All right. Now, let's just think about it. Would you eat a cookie that was made with just a little bit of dog poop? You wouldn't do it, would you? Why do we allow the leaven of false religion to enter into our lives. Okay, let's take it a step further. Why would we allow the leaven of sinful practice, sinful work? Why would we allow the leaven of worldliness into our lives? We wouldn't eat. I wouldn't feed my daughter a cookie made with dog poop. But you see, that little bit affects everything. This is Jesus' point to this parable. Stay pure. Stay pure. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that in your word you've given us these parables to help us to learn so that we can grow and we can be what you want us to be. And Lord, if there's anyone here who's never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, then their life right now, it's not something that is going to be spoiled, because right now they're not even yours. Right now, Lord, they don't belong to you. And so if there's anyone here who's never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're more than the man who fed 5,000 with 4 loaves of bread. You're more than the great Messiah who fed 4,000 with 7 loaves of bread. You're the Savior who came and died on the cross for our sins so that we could be forgiven. And Lord, if there's anyone here who's never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ to save them, I pray that today they would do that. And Lord, I pray for us as a church. Lord, we do not want to have that leaven in our church. We do not want false doctrine in our lives. And so, Lord, if there be anything that we believe wrongly, we want to submit to you, not to tradition of men, not to the whims of any group or any people around us. Lord, we want to follow you. And so, God, help us. And as we sing this song, I just pray that if there's anyone here struggling in their life, they've let worldliness in. Lord, maybe they've been flirting with religious doctrine that just, it's not in your word, it's just, it's off. I pray that we would just humbly bow our hearts, bend our knees, and as we ask you with song to give us clean hands and pure hearts, that you, Lord, would do so, that we would be a people who seek after you with all of our hearts. So bless this invitation now, we pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand together as we sing. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I invite you to come up and tell me that you want to trust Jesus. And let's sing the song out as a song of reflection and as a true request that God would make us pure.
Give us clean hands and give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh, give us clean hands and give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh, God, let this be a generation that seeks, who seeks your face, O God of Jacob. O God, let us be a generation that seeks, who seeks your face, O God of Jacob. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh, give us clean hands and give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh, God, let this be a generation that seeks, who seeks your face. Oh, God of Jacob. Oh, God, let us be a generation that seeks, who seeks your face. Oh, God of Jacob. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble.
As a pastor, I feel it's a very heavy weight to carry. To say, you know, as a church, I don't want to bring any of the leaven in. And you know what? I'll be honest, there's probably some leaven that I've had in my life or even in what I believe. And you know what I ask God every day? God, change what you don't want in me. I don't want to teach things that are false. I only want to teach what is right and pure. So here's my challenge to you. Okay? This message was not a burden on you. This is now turn it back to a burden on me. Search the scriptures. When I preach, make sure what I'm saying is true. And if it's not, call me. Talk to me, because the goal here is to be pure before our God. And if we don't have that leaven, we can be the pure and spotless bride that he wants this local assembly to be. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you that your word is truth. Your word is pure. In fact, Lord, you are the holder, the creator of the refining fire. And someday we will be made perfectly pure. And until that day, Lord, we do not want to allow any leaven into our lives. So, Lord, help us to beware of the leaven that is around us. And I pray, Lord, that you would expel what we might have. And, Lord, we can't do it of our own. But you're a God of miracles who can feed 4,000 with 7 loaves. You can help us. So as we go into this week, Lord, help us to study your word, to be diligent in understanding it. And God, help us to be a generation of people that seeks your face. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. To the only wise God be glory and honor from this day and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you.